Good afternoon. It's about 1:15 p.m. on January the 21st, 2011. We're at Suite 907 Nightclub DMA building. I'm Anthony Camacho, presiding over as the hearing officer. In the appeal of townhouse department stores, anything businesses as Island Business Systems and Supplies. And this is OPA-PA-10-010. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability who are in the room today please identify themselves for the record? Thank you. Will the counsel for the appellant please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives with him today?
Thank you. I'm John Brown, I'm counsel for James E. and his affiliate, Townhouse Department Stores, DBA, Island Business Systems Supplies, also known as IBSS. With me today is Roman Funkus, he's the general manager for IBSS.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Counsel for the purchasing agency, please identify herself for the record and any institutional representatives with her today.
I'm Laura Mooney, and I'm legal counsel for DOE, and with me today is Mark Pito, and he is the manager of supply administration at DOE. He began on January 5th, 2011.
Thank you, Ms. Mooney. Will counsel for interested party Xerox Corporation please identify herself for the record and any institutional representatives with her this afternoon?
Thank you. It is McDonald Iriarte for Xerox Corporation, here with Eric Nakamura to my right and Mike Solis. Also in the room is Pamela Canata.
Thank you, Ms. Iriarte. Today we are here for the pre-hearing conference and also for the purchasing agency's motion to lift the automatic stay. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then I was also at 12:45 p.m. the appellant has filed a motion to dismiss Xerox's appearance.
Yes, sir.
I haven't had time to go through the four pages of your motion, Mr. Brown, but can you summarize it? Well, first of all, have the other parties received a copy of this motion?
I did. Arriving, yes.
Okay.
I received it about 10 minutes ago.
All right. Mr. Brown, could you give us a brief summary of this motion?
Yes, sir. It's based on what Xerox not being a bidder. They're not an interested party unless they are an actual bidder. On basis on the face of the document that was submitted in response to IFB 006, DOE's IFB in this case, by its very terms, on its face, it's a proposal. It is not an unconditional acceptance. The law requires, in the case of an IFB, not a proposal, but an unconditional acceptance. I refer to Exhibit B2, which was part of the agency reports on file in this matter. It's the copy, the only copy that I have of the Xerox submission. I don't particularly like referring to it as a bid because it doesn't call itself a bid. It says that it is a proposal. There's not one sentence in this whole, there's two pages in this which are most pertinent. The first page and the last page. The first page is what they said that they're submitting. It's a proposal.
Mr. Brown, I'm not going to get into the merits of your motion at this time. But, when you say that, so I have an understanding of this, they filed a motion that's, when you say dismiss the appearance, that means, in summary, dismiss the appearance of interested party Xerox in this matter. Is that correct?
That's my motion, yes, sir.
Okay. And then, do the other parties, do they understand the gist of the motion?
I think I understand the gist of the motion, and we'd like the opportunity to respond, but give him more time to just...
Sure. Okay. So, I will then schedule a... I'm going to have to take a look at this motion, first off, and then decide whether or not to schedule a motion hearing, or find, you know, if I feel the other parties need to respond to it. If it's proper, I'll submit a schedule order, okay? But at this point in time, we're not going to hear Mr. Brown, your motion to dismiss the appearance today, as the other parties have just received it. Okay?
Fair enough.
Yeah. As for the other motion, we will proceed with the appellant's, excuse me, the purchasing agency's motion to lift the automatic stay. I understand that the parties pursuant to the hearing officer's January 7th scheduling order have had the opportunity not only to review the motion, but to file their various oppositions or non-oppositions and replies. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we will proceed with a brief argument by the purchasing agency. Followed by any oppositions, and then followed by a brief rebuttal, okay, by the purchasing agency. So, Ms. Mooney, is it your motion you had before?
Thank you. The procurement that's involved in the Houston OPA case is one that can be looked at a couple of different levels, and that's that there's a complex scenario that apparently has been in existence from 2008 all the way up to the present, and I call that the context. And then there's the context, which is the actual bid itself and the things that's around IFB 006-2010, in which DOE sought or seeking to procure 94 small multi-function copiers. With regard to the motion that we have presented, DOE is which is also part of a context, but like an onion skin, a smaller context. When DOE did the bid back in May 3rd, 2010, it was done as part of a resolution of a then existing protest that had been filed by IBSS against GSA DOE and Freddie Shahara, legal counsel of DOE at that time. As part of resolving that protest, agreed to go ahead and go with an expedited procurement of machines, and it was particularly the fax machines that he was seeking to procure for DOE, as well as other machines to meet our immediate emergency needs that existed at that time. And the bid was published on May 3rd, 2010, and I believe it was opened May 21st, 2010. It did not proceed to an award. The bid process got stopped because in May of 2010, the fiscal situation of DOE, as well as many other government agencies, was in a situation where there was an absence of funding to proceed. This was a procurement of outright purchase of machines. And what previously existed and been budgeted for by DOE was the lease of machines. And it came out of a different type of funding pool, as well as the absence of funds overall for DOE. At that time, we were looking at closing the schools and other types of financial harsh realities. In September of 2000, or in July, of 2010. There's a letter that's part of appellant's submittal. I think it's referenced on page 4, but it's a July 7th, 2010 letter from the superintendent, which states that No award has been made with regard to IFC 006-2007. The department is in the process of obtaining a supplemental budget to secure funding to be able to go forward with an award in IFC 006-2010. On September 2nd, 2010, IBSS filed a protest at DOE because there had been no award to get us to move forward with an award. That resulted in an OPA case, and there was some errors inside internally at DOE, and so there had been no response to his first written response, or his written protest September 2nd, 2010. The OPA ordered us to respond to the protest, and we did. And that has brought us to the current action. There was a denial of his protest, or a response to his protest by then the acting manager of supply administration, Mr. Albert Garcia. And in that, Mr. Garcia points out the lack of funding that was present at that time, and that we're not going to go forward because of some other flaws or issues in the procurement. This OPA action was then brought by IBSS, and this is now in the November-December timeframe, and funding has been identified in which to proceed with the procurement, and DOE has tried to negotiate a mutual resolution of issues in this protest so that DOE can go forward with this procurement process and, in fact, make an award or make awards in IFB 006-2010. The issue which would make this protest moot, the issue arises because IBSS has had difficulties with past stipulated dismissal interests that they wouldn't be without prejudice, and so they were unwilling to go forward with that, which is why I crafted a motion to try to move the matter to a procurement. I did not know at that time when I drafted the motion what Xerox's position would be. The motion was to lift, and it didn't get rid of any other portions of the bid. The actual bid in 006-2010 has three items. It's not an all or none bid, so each item can be awarded or not awarded. And item one and item three, IBSS is the lowest bidder based on the opening. The analysis has not been completed totally as the award process. And on item two, which would be a software component, Xerox is appearing as the lowest responsible bidder. Both Xerox and IBSS have expressed strong sentiments as to the other's bid proposals and as to the overall process with regard to IFB 006. And yesterday we received a protest in the underlying IFB 006-2010 from Xerox. We did not have one pre-yesterday. So they are now have filed a protest and registered with us their issues with regard to their threatened potential award to IBSS. And so I'm not certain yet on the legality or how to proceed legally because there's a stay because of this OPA action as to DOE's response to their protest in the underlying case, but it does bring them in and clearly lets us know that there's issues overall between the two parties that won't be resolved probably until there's a full airing of them. DOE would like to go forward with the procurement in IFB 006-2010. It is something of importance and impacting the schools in that we do not have all the facts and capabilities that we need. It affects us with regard to our special ed and some of the other communications, particularly with communications from OPA and other places that want to fax into DOE and are used to getting a confirmation of fax. We have a limitation. DOE is able at the moment to proceed though with the schools can remain open and we can function. We're just not as effective and efficient as we would like to be. When I filed this motion in December, when I filed it, the impact on the schools as of what would be happening to us in January without this fax capability was not clearly known. We had to wait until the schools open and we're still getting impact reports. As a threshold to my motion, and I'm raising it because I have an obligation to do that, and I believe that there may be a jurisdictional issue as to whether or not the OPA can lift the stay without a full and final a resolution of all the issues in the OPA action, and that's under 5GCA Chapter 5, Section 5425G1. Because I am not actually bringing any new evidence in as to a concurrence with the Attorney General's office or as to the impact and the substantial interest of the territory here in January of 2011. What I do have is the evidence that existed in May of 2010 and January or April, May, June, July of 2010, where emergency procurements were in process because DOE did not have any of that capability and was trying to proceed with a larger procurement. A larger procurement did take place in August of 2010 with regard to the wheat of machines, and that is a different IFB, IFB 022-2010, and that is post-award. Xerox and IBSS are both in that procurement as well, and both and in both 006-2010 and the 022 case, bid process, Xerox and IBSS are the only bidders. So as part of making my motion today was that we wanted to bring forth an attempt to resolve all the issues so that we could actually get to an award process, and if they had issues as to the proposals or what was contained into them or as to determinations made by DOE as a procurement agency, it could be done based on decisions made. And so I've crafted the motion. IBSS has not had any opposition to the motion, and Xerox has raised motion opposition to the motion, and we're here before the OPA seeking guidance and attempting to try to move this to a resolution where it eventually deals with all the merits. Thank you.
Mr. Brown, any response to the purchasing agency's motion or interest?
At the risk of adding more information that's already been given about the context and content of this place, of this case, we brought this action, IBS has brought this action to put in the award for the Cottoners in October 6th to the award. It was a low bidder. DOE has not once said that it was non-responsive. It didn't say that when it denied the petition, it denied the protest on other grounds. Non-responsiveness is not an issue in this case. Non-responsibility has never been raised as an issue in this case, except by some allegations of Xerox and some of the comments that IBSS was non-responsible because it wasn't capable of providing the right equipment. That's a responsiveness issue in my question. So I don't think that there's any issue of non-responsibility here. To get to the meat of the substance, IBSS brought a complaint to earn the right to an award of the contract for the copiers. If we determine to award IBSS the contract for the copiers, as far as I'm concerned, all issues that are before this body are resolved. We have on the record DOE saying they have the money they're passing today, they have the money they want to issue the contract for the copiers. All other matters are not part of this appeal and need to be discussed. You don't need to waste your time and resources, all your staff, and going through whether an award is appropriate for items that weren't even appealed in the first case. item number three, or any other issues as far as I'm concerned. We've also heard in submissions from Xerox that Xerox believes that a ruling on awarding the contracts to IBSS is dispositive of this case. They want to press on to bring some light to an item that isn't on appeal, which is a software item. We not protested that, and that was not on the appeal. So I would just like to zero in on this. DOE decided to bring a motion to lift the stay in order to make the award. I didn't think that that was the appropriate procedure. I thought a better procedure would be to go straight to the point of a stipulated decision, not a stipulated judgment, to award the contracts to IBSS. And that would then be dispositive. For some reason, DOE eschewed the stipulated decision procedure and insisted on this. So I don't oppose this motion. I just don't find it necessary if we can get to the guts.
So your position is you don't oppose their motion to lift the stay? From my understanding?
Well, no, to the extent that what its goal is to eliminate the award. What I'm saying is that there's a better process to do that by sticking your decision, but that's, I guess, beside the point. I'm not sure how you want to take that into consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Ms. Yara, thank you for your response.
Thank you. Let's just get down to the basics of what DOE's motion means. They want the lifting of the stay so they can pay IBSS $229,000 to buy, not lease, 94 copiers which fail DOE's bid specifications. Those bid specifications are aimed to control costs and monitor usage, and IBSS machines do not do that. Instead, they will encourage unmonitored usage and skyrocketing costs. The question is whether or not the OPA will allow them to do that. This IFB was issued back in May 2010, and in the IFB, if you look at the record exhibit 1, in the bid requirements, they say for user account setup, enable user to track prints, copies, faxes, and scans. And it says it has to happen in Windows and Mac operating systems. They also clarified that in a later clarification, also exhibit 1 to the record, where it says, does it require that the proposed device be able to generate a hard copy or downloadable report showing device utilization per user? And the answer is yes. So the bid requirements are quite clear as to what DOE is asking for. IBSS did come in with the lower bid at $229,000. But we now have information that IBS's machines are not compliant with the specifications. IBS's machines cannot track individual user fax, scans, or copies in Windows, and it cannot track faxes, scans, copies, or prints in Macs. Xerox checked this on its own, not once, not twice, but three times with both HP customer online support and with an independent reseller of HP products on Guam. So what is the importance of the user tracking? It goes to the costs and accountability. These are two important objectives for DOE. If DOE wants to know how much it's spending on paper and on fax communications, the individual user tracking allows it to do that, but IBS's machines do not. If it wants to set quotas on how much copying a teacher or a school club can do, the individual user tracking allows that also, but IBS's machines do not. If it wants to monitor employee productivity, it would be done through the individual user tracking, but IBS's machines, again, do not do that. We can think of a multitude of ways in which teachers and students and DOE employees can abuse printing and copying privileges, and this abuse may go unchecked with IBS's copiers. So it's not what DOE has asked for, and it's baffling that they're now letting it happen by asking for this lift stay and to proceed to award. And what's even more dangerous is the purchase angle. This is for purchase, not for lease. So DOE is stuck with these 94 machines until they die. Now, these are pretty heavy accusations that Xerox has laid for this case. And so we'd expect a response from IBSS but it's been silent. And this is from the company that has no problem filing motion after motion and pages after pages, accusing Xerox of being contaminators of the procurement process and accusing DOE of having bad faith. At the end of the day, IBSS cannot answer the question whether or not it's compliant. And so they're the ones at the end of the day that's playing games. But it's actually been more than silent, because now IBSS wants to waive the hearing in this matter. In other words, it doesn't even want the OPA to hear the evidence of whether or not it's compliant. We ask that the OPA proceed to a hearing in this matter so it can determine for itself whether or not these machines are compliant. OPA's jurisdiction in this matter is to hear de novo any matter properly submitted, and its jurisdiction is to promote the integrity of the procurement process. This motion should be denied because IBSS should be proven to be non-responsive and non-responsible. It should also be denied because it's unclear to us whether or not DOE is actually treating the bidders evenly and fairly. There's an item 2 in which Xerox is the lowest bidder. We don't know if that's going to be awarded to Xerox or not. IBSS says that's not part of this protest, and yet here we are still not receiving an award on item 2. And finally, the motion may be moot because 2 days ago, Xerox filed a protest on the anticipated award of IFB 6, the same invitation for bids that we're here on today. And because our protest is pre-award, the stay should remain on the copiers, on the award of the copiers. So Xerox, in sum, asks that we proceed to a hearing in this matter and that the motion be denied.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Mooney, any response? Or any rebuttal?
DOE, as a purchasing agency, just wants to follow the rules and regulations with regard to making an award and proceeding in this matter. And there are strong issues being raised by both bidders in IFB 06-2010. And that's by IBSS, that the proposal of Xerox has material extraneous to the IFB, and by Xerox, that the proposal IBSS is non-responsive in bid specs in a material way. I have Mark Pito, who is here with me, and he just started at DOE on January 5th, 2011. And it's his job to make sure that we follow all these rules and regulations. There has not been a completion internally of his review of this matter and all the issues that are being presented. And he, frankly, has expressed alarm at some of the statements that we've been hearing in the last few days with regard to this particular case as to the actual bid process, and that's what it, whether it was problematic or not. DOE wants to go forward with an award. We have identified funds in order to do that. We do try to mutually resolve the issues that were brought by IBSS, and it was attempting to not have IBSS and Xerox have issues against each other. And that's why I identified the items that were specifically related to this particular appeal. DOE is willing to go forward with the hearing on the merits. We just would prefer it to be something where we actually had an opportunity to do all our decision making and complete the processes as a purchasing agency. This is brought pre-award. We are also, if it was possible to put all the issues as to making the awards before the OPA so that everybody would have an opportunity to have those heard in some manner, there was a way to delay this particular process so that those issues could all jointly be before the OPA. DOE would also be in favor of that. We've made the motion and we're attempting to make a mutual resolution with both IBSS and we would like to with Xerox, the party in interest. They're the only two bidders in this procurement. So we ask the OPA to give us guidance, and if it's appropriate in some manner for us to be able to lift the stay in order to proceed with an award. Although post-award, it's more precarious for DOE. If it was possible to have all the issues heard in this matter, so that we would have a decision before we make the award. That also would be okay with DOE. We just wanted to proceed in a proper manner with regard to the public funds and to have it understood by everybody that we are a public school system. And although we may have some flaws in our procurement system and some problems, what we're trying to do is to procure the products that we need in order to keep the public schools open for the students. Thank you.
I have some questions for you, Ms. Rooney. Who's handling the existing copiers? What contractor has responsibility for the existing copier services in DOE?
It's currently Xerox pursuant to a ISP 022-2010. It was the larger procurement process. It was issued in August of 2010, and it's a link to award. And so now we're post-award in that case. IBSS has a protest pending post-award in that case.
Okay.
Could I clarify to you, because that particular procurement, we did not, in that procurement, what's been issued in here is 94 machines, and that procurement had item number 5 that mirrored similarly the 94 machines that were part of 006-2010. We did not award that item, so actually what we did was we reduced the amount of machines we have. That's why I'm saying that we don't have the fax capabilities that we would like to have, that we would have if we were able to go forward with this procurement. But we do have machines under our lease at this time with your office. I just wanted to clarify that.
When you say lease, is that from this IFB-002-2010 that you stated? Is that the existing lease?
That's a 60-month lease.
Do I have a chance to come in and rebut the comments made by Xerox at this point? Can you ask the DOE if they have any comments to it?
Well, it's their motion, we're so here on their motion, right? I can give you some brief rebuttal, but just a minute.
I'm sorry, I'm still a little bit confused. Are there now copy machines and some fax machines in the various schools?
Yes.
Okay. And who are you paying for those copy machines? Are they leased or are they purchased?
There's a lease that where the machines were delivered in December.
December of last year?
Of 2010. There's new machines. And so that lease is in effect from the delivery of the machines forward.
So that's a new contract?
Yes, under IFB 022-2010. And that was a procurement that both IBSS and Xerox were bidders in.
And that bid did not have any protests?
Not pre-awards and not post-award until December of 2010, December 16th, 2010. And so there hasn't been a response yet, but that was, the purchase order was issued November 16th, 2010 in that award. So we're a lengthy time past the normal 14 working days the DOE's procurement protest are filed in.
So I'm still a little bit confused.
There are issues in both cases between Xerox and IBSS.
But absent whatever new thing you're going to get, okay, what do you have right now?
We have
Are there current copy machines in the schools right now, absent this?
We have a limited number. We have a limited number of larger machines for multi-functions, but the smaller machines that were part of this procurement have fax capability, and it's the fax capabilities that were absent on some of our current machines.
Since the last appeal that we had back in 2008, and I know you were not a party to that one, that was under Fred Nishihara, and in the reading there's been some emergency procurements. What happened to those machines that were in the schools? Have some of those machines been replaced based on new bids?
All those machines, the old existing machines, there was no device in which to pay, no emergency procurement purchase orders to pay after November 1st, 2010. To the president. Xerox removed the machines over a staged period of time, the existing machines, so but they were present still in schools while they were removing them, and that may be a future issue between DOE and Xerox on a government claim basis.
But some schools right now do have, some schools have machines, copy machines, fax machines.
All the old machines, my understanding, have been removed and are totally off DOE's present premises, so there's no issues that way. We have the new machines that were released as part of 022, and those machines were delivered like December 17th, or like mid-December period of time. And the rollout of that, I believe, is complete, and that's what we're functioning at the capacity that we're able to function. We're functioning.
And that's what you said.
Yeah, we're just not as effective as we, and efficient as we'd like to be, and especially these other governmental agencies that like to use faxes.
Okay, so you do have some machines based on a more recent bid that was awarded to Xerox?
Correct.
Okay. And you termed that the large machines?
That's the way I understood they were larger function machines. Because when, on May 21st, 2010, the superintendent was expressing it, she said DOE has issued IFP 06-2010 for small multi-function copy machines to accommodate our larger solicitation. This solicitation is intended to outfit several areas of the department where the largest solicitation is being awaiting approval. So originally 06-2010 was something to put into place to allow us to exist before the larger procurement took place. And that's what's happened also as part of the context.
That is not part of the protest. That's not an issue in this case.
issue, to the extent that it is an issue, was known to Xerox back in June, because the general managers of Xerox wrote a confidential letter to the DOE supply administrator, who was at that time in the process of evaluating the bids, wrote a confidential letter complaining exactly about the same thing that they're complaining about here. It's tracking of users. It was specifically identified in that letter. Then again, and they didn't protest. They just complained surreptitiously to try to undermine the bid, but they had the time to bring the protest. They had the knowledge to bring the protest, but they didn't do it. Then again, in December of this year, just last year, Xerox comments on the agency report that was submitted, they raised that same issue. They didn't protest. They raised that same issue. Now they're trying to protest again. And in fact, as she said, they have filed a protest on that issue finally, a couple of days ago. It's too late. They knew about this in June. They had 14 days from the time that they knew or should have known to bring this protest. They didn't do it. It is now an issue that should be barred altogether from this hearing and any other. If it becomes an issue, we're prepared to produce facts that we believe totally refute this allegation. But this is not the time and the place, and it's not proper because the whole question should be barred.
Thank you, Mr. Rock. Ms. McAllison, or Mr. Rock, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Some brief rebuttal.
Yes, it will be brief.
A response, rather. Please proceed.
In their main argument, IBSS talked about wasting time, and here we are again asking them to provide proof that they meet specs. That would answer all the questions. And again, they have evaded that question when given the opportunity over and over again. The issue of timeliness only relates to people who protest, to plaintiffs. It doesn't relate to defenses, and it doesn't relate to any other issue. It only affects when someone has brought a claim. And so the issue of timeliness doesn't even apply to their argument. And they're also taking advantage of DOE not raising this issue on their own. But this issue exists. It's a cost and accountability issue. And it's for the OPA in her jurisdiction to determine whether or not to go ahead and allow DOE to purchase these machines to DOE's detriment, which provide no ability to individually track user usage. Thank you.
Ms. Moon, any response to this later part of the argument?
No.
Okay. Yes, it's your motion. I'll give you that last word on your motion. I will take the purchasing agency's motion to lift the automatic stay under advisement, and we'll issue a written decision shortly. The next item that we have for discussion here is the actual pre-hearing contents for OPA-PA-10-010. And I note that IBSS on December the 16th, 2010 requested a hearing in this matter. Is it still the appellant's desire to have a hearing in this matter?
Request to hear. Subsequent to the filing of this motion to lift the to allow the stay to be lifted, we did file a document at that point. The same document that said we don't oppose the motion, and for purposes only of that motion, we hereby waive the right to hearing. But we have retained all along our right to a formal hearing on the merits should it come. Necessary to get there. We are hopeful that this conference today will provide the basis for resolving this without a hearing.
Okay, but without a waiver of your request for hearing, we must schedule one, and we will today schedule a formal hearing in this matter. Were there any other parties that the purchasing agency request a hearing? I don't believe so. Okay. Did Xerox request a hearing in this matter?
We did not file a formal request of hearing, but we do request one.
I would Yes.
To say that we would also waive our hearing in the event that the motion is granted, because everybody acknowledges that granting the motion and granting the award of the contract will make the whole matter dispositive. So I just want to make sure that that was clear.
Well, as I state, under the rules of our rules of procedure, first and foremost, a request for a hearing has to be made in writing in that form that's stated in the rules of procedure governing a procurement appeal so many days after the filing of certain documents. And we will hold a hearing unless a waiver is actually filed with the Office of Public Accountability.
So you would order that in writing, or would you require me to make that here today?
I would require that in writing, that is correct. And filed with the Office of Public Accountability. Until such time as such a waiver is filed, I will proceed forward with the hearing conference and schedule a hearing in this matter today. Okay?
Can I ask for clarification? Xerox would like to have a hearing in this matter, but in the event the appellant waives it, we were relying on their request for a hearing to present evidence of them being noncompliant. In the event they waive the hearing, would we be allowed an opportunity to submit evidence in writing?
As an interested party, you're certainly allowed to file your comments on the agency report. I believe there's a time period for that. I believe that the comments by Xerox in this case.
Yes, we did file the comments and ask for no enlargement of the time to do so.
Okay, so that's where such argument should be made. If there's a waiver of a hearing, okay, and the parties have not stipulated to dismiss the appeal, the Office of Public Accountability will proceed with deciding the matter based on the pleadings that are filed.
The pleadings and the attachments?
Well, all the exhibits. All the records include the procurement records. So that's all it is. Without a hearing, there still will be a decision by the Office of Public Accountability unless the matter is dismissed via stipulation of the parties. Okay? To my understanding, there's no stipulation, such stipulation that's been filed or agreed to. So even with a waiver, we will still proceed with deciding the matter based on the pleadings filed and the procurement record filed as well. Is that a clarifying question?
Yes.
Okay.
And if I may, you require a written waiver, which I can provide later today, but I'm leaving notice now that we will waive the hearing.
Okay, well, we don't have your written waiver today, so we will still proceed with scheduling. It would be good if you're going to file that, that would be filed this afternoon. That would save us the trouble and expense of filing a formal scheduling order.
That would be my preference, to avoid everybody's time and trouble. I think that we know what the issues are here, we can just get to them.
Meaning that going down the numbers, thank you.
Mr. Brown, based on your assertion that then the only party that's requested a hearing, based on your stated intent that you would file a waiver of hearing this afternoon, okay, I will continue the pre-hearing conference. Right? We will reschedule that. And assuming that you file your waiver of a hearing today, instead of scheduling or rescheduling the excuse me, scheduling a new date for the pre-hearing conference, I'll merely submit an order vacating the pre-hearing conference.
Okay. Thank you for that consideration.
All right. So are there any other issues that need to be taken up at this time? Any other parties?
Just a little bit of clarity on the one motion to lift the stay is taken under advisement, but I also have the other motion to dismiss Xerox that was made earlier today. We will be presumably having a hearing on that.
I'm going to review your motion first. Okay, I don't have any, and based on my review, if I deem it it's necessary to hold a hearing on it, I will issue a scheduling order and a hearing date as well. Okay. Did I miss any motions, other motions? Okay. So we still have this pending motion, the motion that's taken under advisement. And as I stated earlier, we are going to continue the pre-hearing conference, subject to a date that you will receive written notice on. Okay? And of course, Mr. Brown, if you file your motion or your waiver for a hearing, I will vacate the continued pre-hearing conference. Okay? Any other matters? There will be no other matters. This hearing is continue to recess until continued by written order. We're going to go off the record. It is approximately 2:09 p.m. Thank you.